Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we update you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. This is a special bonus episode recorded on Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
So I know that Dusty Baker, before the game today, went ahead and announced that he has gone ahead and he has not ruled out the idea of having a six-man rotation or possibly having a tandem kind of starting. So that's something that we've kind of discussed.
He needs a tandem. He needs a piggyback system.
But he said that he also cannot be using Christian Javier for four innings like he did the other day. But he just said the situation kind of presented himself where he was like, you know what, I could put another pitcher in, or I can kind of just use Christian Javier for that fourth inning. But the whole purpose for putting Christian Javier in the bullpen is to kind of save his arm for later on in the year. And if the whole purpose for taking Luis Garcia out of the rotation would be saving his arm for later in the year as well. So I think if the fact that we've heard James Click said that he has not ruled out a six-man rotation, and now that we've heard that Dusty Baker has not ruled it out, this may actually happen. We have 20 games in a row. I think there's an off day on Monday, then they're going to have 20 games in a row. So this may be something that we see to kind of save some innings for October.
Well, yeah, let's do this. Let's talk about that on the show, because I have some definite things I want to say about, you know, Dusty. Some good, some critical, but, you know. Johnny is in the house.
What's up, brothers? Can y'all hear me?
How's it? Yes, we can. Yes, sir.
Yeah, like, this is just, you know, throwing it out there. You know, we're going to go 20 games in a row without, you know, basically a day off. Why not bring up another pitcher and go one less position guy, since we basically don't use them? The only position guy that we use was Diaz, and now he's on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And now that we're going to be playing a lot more at home and Yordan isn't 100% our DH anymore, we can use the DH as a little half day off for some of our infielders. Just a thought. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
But if you remember Dusty Baker, when we had like two or three people injured and not really playing, he said, I don't really like playing with a short bench. So that's something that I don't know if he's really going to be too interested in doing. But I get your point, especially with if they want to have a six-man rotation and they possibly looking at doing a tandem. That's going to kind of eat up some of those arms. So you may need that extra arm. So I see what you're saying, Johnny, especially if you can start having Yordan play in the outfield. And I know he was taking some ground balls at third base. No, that does not mean he's going to play third base. You will not see Alvarez at third base. We even saw Kyle Tucker at third base. You saw Taylor Jones playing shortstop. That does not mean they're going to be out there. That's just them goofing around today. But I guess after a big win like yesterday, they had kind of time to kind of goof around today. But yeah, so I see your point, Johnny. So maybe that's a possibility, but Dusty Baker's an old school guy. He likes those deep benches. He likes to have those pinch hitters, pinch runners, those types of things.
Here's my thing. I think I've come to a conclusion of what I like, an actual opinion, what I think of Dusty Baker. Okay. I don't think that all of the bullpen woes have been Dusty's fault. Right. I've never actually said that. I've gone back and forth with a couple people on Twitter that have kind of accused me of saying, oh, you blame Dusty for everything. No, I don't blame Dusty for the bullpen sucking. I don't blame Dusty for Stanek giving up that stuff, or Belak, or whoever else, you know, not performing. And what I don't like are some of his moves. And what I back that up with is he has a history of abhorrent bullpen management, and it's well documented. And although he may know more baseball than in his left thumb than I have in my entire brain, Dusty Baker still, to me, as a manager, I don't know that I trust him fully. And this is why I don't feel like sometimes he has a game plan. I just, some of the moves he makes in the lineup, I don't understand it. Again, I never played pro ball. I never played college ball. Hell, I didn't even play high school ball. But I grew up playing baseball my entire life up until I was 15 or 16 in league. And I do understand the game somewhat. And I just feel like Dusty Baker, to me, comes across as a manager that is waiting for retirement to get here. And I may be completely wrong and 100% off, right? Because I've never talked to him personally. But that's what I get from that. And having to put into his hands, whether we have a one or two piggyback starters in five-man rotation and a six-man rotation, that makes me nervous as hell. You know, to his credit, the Astros have done well. Now, here's the question. Here's the real test. Give Dusty Baker the bullpens from 17 to 19, right? 17, 18, and 19. Give him those bullpens and see how he manages those. I still think with those bullpens, he makes bad moves because in his history, he's not made great moves. I mean, the Nationals is his most famous, you know, faux pas that he made, if that's how you say it. I failed French. But when he was with the Nationals, he didn't really handle that well. And so I'm just not too confident overall in his managerial style. So there you go. I'm not blasting Dusty because I don't like Dusty. I just don't really trust him.
All right. Well, we got Sully from the Locked On MLB podcast here, and I know you've been probably watching Dusty manage for years. So what do you think about the Astros possibly going to a six-man rotation?
I've got to say a couple of things in Dusty's defense and and to agree with Brett on some other things. When my father, who I lost this year, was the biggest Giants fan on the planet Earth, and when Dusty arrived as the manager of the Giants, coincided the arrival of Barry, the Giants immediately woke up, and they had some of the best years in their franchise history. And he brought them to within 6 outs of winning the World Series in 2002, gave my father a ton of joy in those years. If you asked my father, Dusty Baker, his face would contort like he bit a lemon. And because if you ask my friends who are Cub fans, you know, like, what do you think about Dusty Baker? He brought the Cubs to the verge of the World Series, and they shudder. It's the strangest resume because he really is a Game 7 of the World Series victory away from being in the Hall of Fame when you consider that he brought the Giants, the Cubs, the Reds, the Nationals, and the Astros all to the postseason. And yet, everywhere he goes, he has done things with a bullpen that make you go, oh my God, what is happening? And I used to say that they should basically reenact Cyrano de Bergerac and have someone whisper to Dusty when to take a pitcher out or when to take someone in, because players live and die by him. And he obviously knows how to manage, because wherever he goes, there is success. But there's also always a taking Russ Ortiz out, leaving Mark Pryor in, handling the bullpen with the Nats, handling the bullpen with the Reds. You know, and Astro fans are seeing it close up too. So the six-man rotation, four-man rotation, one-man rotation, I think Dusty's always going to do something weird with the pitching staff. And I think that this is kind of what you get in you're going to get a team that wins. You're going to get a team that loves playing for them. And you're going to have managerial decisions with the bullpen that make you go, oh, my God. But I don't remember. Was it you, H-Town, or Brett? Who was some, or you, Eric? Someone was making the point that he doesn't have the horses that they, you know, the Astros bullpen in 17, 18, and 19.
Right. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Okay, I mean, he doesn't. And so what I'm not blaming him for, I'm not blaming him for them going out there not performing. Because whether you put the right guy in or the wrong guy in, the guy on the mound still has a job to do, right? It's like, well, I'm going to fail at my job because, Dusty, you should have put me in an inning sooner, so I'm going to fail. And so, I don't ignore that it's odd that we have the number one offense in baseball and we have the worst bullpen in baseball. Such an anomaly, and what a beautiful game baseball is to have that. Yeah. I think you said what I've been feeling all season, but more succinctly. I think it's a little bit more well-tempered. I try to pull personal emotion, personal attachment to the team out of it. I think at first I was like, no, Dusty, what are you like knee-jerk reacting to everything he was doing. And then I'm like, dude, I got to quit doing this because I could never be a stock guy. I could never be a day trader. I would have a heart attack in the first week, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, honestly, I think this year especially, I still feel like he's just that guy kind of waiting on retirement right now, sometimes. So I just, that's the feeling I get. Yeah, I know.
Let me just say a couple other things, because I am a Dusty fan, and I understand his shortcomings as a manager, but I also am quick to point out the fact that he has, in terms of regular season success, he has done a tremendous amount in his career. I will say a couple things. First of all, last year...
Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to using without tobacco. That's right. If you chew, tell a story about your experience and why Fully Loaded Chew is a product you have been waiting for. All the things you enjoy about traditional smokeless products without tobacco. This is the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry, wet pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is offering the Locked On team listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try for just $1. That's right. For just $1, you can go to fullyloadedchew.com and use the promo code Locked On, just $1 and free shipping if you use a promo code Locked On at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it a Fully Loaded Chew at fullyloadedchew.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and/or UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the run for the playoffs. Head to the website and use your mobile device and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You can bet on anything: home runs, wins. Will Jacob DeGrom continue to break strikeout records? Will Jose Altuve lead this team in home runs by the end of the season? Go to BetOnline. They're your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON.
And to a degree this year, he has been the ideal person to step into the cauldron that is being the Astros of 2020 and 2021. And I swear I'm not going to bring up my thoughts on all the scandals and everything like that, but they could not have picked a better guy to hand the reins to with a managerial opening, because A, he's someone who everyone seems to like, so there wasn't the venom towards him. He had nothing to do with what happened before. And he, DGAF. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a F. And so he is someone who knows what the job is, knows what to do. And so considering all the outside thing, they couldn't have handed what they were going into last year and give it to a rookie manager, or do with, with the Red Sox. I'm not taking the Red Sox off the hook, because they did tons of crap too, and picked up a World Series title that is tainted too. Please make a note that I said that. And they did the dumbest thing. They handed the ball over to Renicky, who, granted he had managerial experience too, but he was part of what had happened before. And so he was just, he looked like a spider in the toilet all year. And Dusty looked like Dusty. And so he was the right guy for the situation. And I will also say this, lest we forget a bullpen decision that he made in the wild card series against Minnesota saved their postseason, because Greinke didn't have it. And he brought in Framber Valdez in the fifth and let him pitch the rest of the way. And Valdez, if you were going by the stats, you were going by the analytics, they would have said, oh, you got to pull Valdez here. You got to bring this closer there. He let him ride to the end. And they won that game one, of which the Twins had multiple chances to have big innings. And in the end, he held on to him. The Astros win that game and set up the game two victory. And if they lose that first game, they probably lose one more game to the Twins. And then they would never have gotten to the ALCS. So I think there's a lot of times Dusty does stuff that's weird, you know, with his bullpen management. That one saved their series. You got to give credit where credit's due.
Okay. I'm thinking when he left Greinke in, was that the ALCS?
Yeah, I think so. But I'm talking about that first game. The Astros had, you know, finished two games under in the truncated season, and people were saying, oh, the fact they're in it was a joke. I think I may have even said that. And I was like, well, at least the Twins are going to win their first playoff game since 2004, and as they wipe out the Astros. And it sure looked that way, because they had Greinke on the ropes early in that game. I think they had the bases loaded in the first. They brought in Valdez. And that decision that Dusty made gave them that game one win, which they needed. And so what I'm saying is that that may have been an unorthodox move by Dusty Baker, but sometimes an unorthodox move, it paid off in that sense. And so I think that I'm one to give, I like Dusty. The only positive thing in my mind of an Astros championship this year would be Dusty getting a ring as a manager. And I would love the part of me just dropped to my knees in love. And I so wish when the Nationals won the World Series, I wish it was with Dusty at the helm, because I just would love to have seen the sports writers look up and say, is he a Hall of Famer? I mean, with a World Series ring, he has the resume. Yeah. And so, and I would love to see all the people who belittle him as a manager have to say, my God, do we have to put him in the Hall of Fame? Yes. Yes, you do. And it'd be worth it for the speech. But, So it could still happen if your wish comes true. But
That's right.
I will say this, though. I do think that this is probably going to be not that, the Astros – the Astros don't have a great pitching staff this year, as you're quick to note. And the A's have been playing great, great baseball. And the Astros are right in it. They are in it. And with the American League this year, there is no clear front runner. There is no team in the American League this year that, well, they're clearly the team to beat. Who is it in the American League?
Tampa's there, but the White Sox keep getting injured. All their players go down.
I've been saying this like crazy on my podcast, but the fact of the matter is, I think that there's going to be a bunch of teams by the end of the year that are going to finish between 93 and 87 wins. And I don't think there's a 100-win team in this bunch. I also don't think there's a 100-loss team in this bunch. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have a bunch of teams that at the end of the year, four or five games are going to separate home field advantage in the division series and not playing in the wild card game. So I think that that means that if you punch a ticket for postseason, you have a legitimate shot to go to the World Series. And that includes the Houston Astros. That includes the Kansas City Royals and the Indians and everyone else who's on the fringe of contention right now.
Wow.
So and if the Astros could do that, with getting an okay year out of Greinke and Urquidy. And, who's their best starter? Is it Garcia?
Yeah, Luis Garcia.
Garcia's probably their best starter. And I would make the recommendation that they drop one of their starters into the bullpen, because yeah. I, I don't I mean, I shouldn't be saying this because I signed an NDA.
We got Jeremy Brenner joining us. Jeremy, do you got anything to add to our deep conversation with Sully, the baseball philosopher?
Yeah, I'm actually very much a pro six man rotation, to be honest, Ed. And the way that the Astros are going to operate, like, I know Dusty's getting a lot of flack for a lot of things, but personally, I think he's doing just fine. Yeah. He was brought onto the team, like, he really doesn't have a hard job in Houston just because the team is so talented. He literally, like, as long as he's making sure that everything, as long as the boat doesn't collapse, he's doing a fine job for me. And where they're at right now, I'm totally content with it. I don't see why anyone should be upset with how this team is doing right now, especially considering what happened last year. And, like, guys like Luis Garcia, who have kind of come out of almost nowhere to be one of the best pitchers in the rotation. The thing is, if you have six guys in rotation, so we're saying it's, what, Garcia, Greinke, Framber, then we McCullers. Have Lance is four, Odorizzi five, and then I'm forgetting someone. Who am I forgetting?
Arcidi,
yeah, six. So I think how it's going to work in the postseason, if the Astros were to get there, which I think there's a good chance we do, is pitch these guys like a starter goes six innings and then another guy gets 33.
Yeah.
And you got to be content with that. And that's similar to how like we run like game four. But if the bullpen is as poor as it is, and to be honest, I think the bullpen's only going to get better, only because I'd be shocked if James Click didn't do something at the deadline and Pedro Baez is still yet to play the season. And, you know, I'm sure he'll increase the depth in that bullpen. So if the Astros can get like a guy, like let's say game one, like Framber goes seven, you can get Javier to pitch two and close the game. Or you can get five innings from, or you can get like three innings from like Odorizzi in game four and then get like three from it's not going to be like every guy gets one inning, because I think the more guys you throw at whichever team they play, the more likely they are to, you know, find a hole or find a place to go. And also the offense, I think, is good enough, at least, you know, because they have the experience of postseason at bats. That's something that, you know, the White Sox don't have. And I think that's like the biggest mark that I have against them is that they don't have that same type of playoff experience that, you know, the Astros do, the Rays do, and the Red Sox do. So like, I think it might be a little bit unorthodox how the Astros run things, but that's how they won the 2017 World Series. It's how they advanced, you know, as Sully mentioned in that game one with Framber pitching against Minnesota. And, you know, I think that's how we should anticipate the postseason going. And I think that's a successful solution for them. It's worked in the past. The only thing they have to do is show up when it counts. And you won't know if that will happen until, you know, obviously 4 months from now.
You know, can I just jump in here for a second? I think you made a couple of great points there. You remember, I mean, like, Hinch was used Morton and McCullers as both starters and relievers when they won the World Series. In Cora, when you looked at what the Red Sox did in 18, you know, Price came out of the bullpen, Sale came out of the bullpen, Eovaldi came out of the bullpen, Eduardo Rodriguez came out of the bullpen. Rick Porcello was actually more effective out of the bullpen than he was as a starter. And it was just basically mixing and matching. I'm writing this book about the 72 postseason. And one of the fascinating things, and granted, this is a team that had a bunch of all-stars and a couple of Hall of Famers, but Dick Williams, the manager of the A's, would use Catfish Hunter out of the bullpen, Vita Blue out of the bullpen, Ken Holtzman out of the bullpen, Blue Moon Odom. Anyone in his staff was available to pitch as a starter or as a reliever. And, you know, Vita Blue, who had won the Cy Young the previous year, came out of the bullpen to save the ALCS and got, like, multiple saves in the World Series because that's the situation. And you know what? Now we got to bring in Vita. So, you know, I think that I do think they need to get another human being into their rotation. I do think they need to make a deal, and I would almost make it be for their starting rotation instead of the bullpen, But basically, it's trade for the best arm available, and make it run that way. What, by the way, what happened to Paredes, who pitched for them last year?
Oh, he can't throw a strike anymore.
Yeah, he's well he's with his delivery. I mentioned this on the podcast the other day. Watch him step, and his front foot, his left foot, finishes in front of his right leg, and then he throws across his body to the left side. And I don't know how you expect to control a strike, a ball in the strike zone, when your lead leg is going to the right and you're throwing across your body like you're crossing, almost like a twister mat, you know? And he needs more time in the minor leagues. I think he needs a lot more work in double and triple A. And I know that's not a popular opinion to Houston, because the Enoli Canolis and Paredes kind of won everybody's heart last year in 2020 with their fans. But he is such a live arm, and he's so herky jerky. He needs to fine tune a lot of it. I mean, he's got it. He's got the potential. He's got the talent. He just cannot find the strike zone for anything.
Yeah, I remember him pitching well last year. And it was,
he did, but there were no fans.
Well, that's
there was
true.
No pressure, really. So I think that's a lot to do with it, Sully.
Yeah.
He was coming straight up from single A last year, so it was a big jump. And he was coming up from an injury this year. So, and he's got some type of shoulder injury. That's what they're saying right now. He's being evaluated. But I think he walked two batters, hit a batter to lose the game in the last game of the Red Sox series. But I don't know if I do agree with you, Sully, but the Astros don't have a lot of room to go out and trade for anybody because they're so close to luxury tax threshold. They are able to get Odorizzi somehow without going over luxury tax threshold. But they may be able to go get a reliever, but they're kind of dealing with a center fielder who's improving. I know he's not everybody's favorite, but he's improving. But I don't know if they can go out and get a top of the line reliever or a even a number four type of starter. The Astros.
That's why I brought him up. That's why I brought Paredes up, because they do need new bodies in there. Now it may be from within, you know, but they need to have some form of reinforcement, especially if they're.
It's all good, brother.
Hey, fellas.
Yes, sir.
And then, not that many of us remember this, or not remember, but we're not mentioning this either. In the next couple of in that 20 game stretch, we start playing the bottom of the barrel teams. Right. I mean, I know we struggle against them, but this is our chance to separate from the A's, because the A's, they start playing the top tier teams. You know what I'm saying? And now we start playing the bottom tier teams. So these next 20 games are going to be, you know, super, super important, where the Astros can separate and hopefully hide. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not going like we did last year, right? The top two teams of each division make it to the playoffs. It's back to the regular, just a couple of wild cards and the division winners.
Yes.
So I don't know if two teams are going to come out of the West. I think it's just going to be the division winner, and that's it, you know, because in the East, you got Tampa and you got Boston.
Yeah.
And then, so I don't know.
He didn't say the Yankees.
That's my dad's favorite team, and I can just hear my dad all the time. He's in the living room cussing up a storm. I'm like, oh, I guess the Yankees are doing pretty good. He's always saying, swing the freaking, not saying freaking, you know, swing the freaking bat. Because that's also his pet peeve. Like, when I first started playing baseball when I was 8 years old, he told me, swing the bat. If you're going to strike out, give yourself a chance to get c- contact, a hit, an error, something. You know, swing the bat. He hates it when people take strike three basically right down the pipe.
Apparently, Tyler Ivey's going to be out for, I don't know if it's rest of the year, but he had a, I don't know if they're calling it Tommy John or anything, but he has some type of elbow issue. So he's been hiding it kind of the same way that Ken Emanuel's been kind of hiding it. So what is it with pitchers and like hiding the elbow issues? That's kind of like the big, I guess when you get a chance to pitch in big leagues, you're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to just deal with this pain. But when you're pitching at big league level, you've got to be all systems go. And if you're not, it's going to show. And I guess that's what happened to Tyler Ivey. But hopefully whatever's going on with him, everything's going to get better with him because he looks like he can be have a good future with Houston Astros. Same thing with Kent Emanuel. And so that's two arms that the Astros can't rely on this year. So thank goodness Luis Garcia rose last year.
Question. Hey, Bryce. Hey, hold on one second. I was going to tell y'all.
Yes, sir.
Bryce is here. Bryce is here from Locked On Rangers or Locked On Tough Shed Stadium. What's up, Bryce? You should come on stage and talk some Astros baseball with us. We know it's your second favorite team.
Oh. Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know me, longtime Houston Astros supporter, big time Houston sports fan. You know, anything Houston sports, I am pro.
Rockets, definitely, Texans, all of them.
Definitely just extremely pro all Houston sports. That's me. I'm sure y'all got a kick out of it. I don't know if you, I'm sure you at least saw this final score of last night's Rangers Dodgers game. And, boy, did that one get ugly quick!
Yeah, that was that's a tough one.
Bryce,
what up?
Hello, brother. Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
What's up with the turf in Rangers Stadium? A lot of players have been complaining about that. You guys have like horrible turf, and we lost Brantley for what? 10 games, 11 games because of that turf and his hamstring and his sore legs. So what do you know about that turf, brother?
I would blame his hamstring more than the turf. but in all actuality, they've got, I think it was something similar to what they've been putting in a lot of the new stadiums. I don't know that much about it. I know that a lot of fans and a lot of people were upset about it, but the Rangers front office is putting out a lot of like, hey, everything's fine. Everything's totally fine. And like, they were just kind of funneling that out to the people who are friendly to them in the media of like, hey, like everything's fine. Like make sure everyone's like really chill about the turf. Cause I don't know. There was just a lot of uproar about it, but the Rangers haven't had any injuries from that. The Rangers actually did have someone injured from, well, it wasn't from turf, but Ronald Guzman in the Trop, who was playing left field, by the way, a whole nother thing I don't really need to get into. I haven't really seen that many people. Like, Michael Brantley injury was like the first one that I've seen that because I just don't think that many people have been hurt by it. But it is kind of a funky turf. I don't know that I love it, but they didn't ask my opinion when they put it in. We'll get it on the next stadium, which should be in about 20 years.
You're right.
That's at the current rate.
Yep.
It's such a shame. You know, like, people give it a lot of credit. I still haven't been to the new stadium, which is kind of funny. I have a lot of friends who are way less into baseball than I am that have been to games at the new Globe Life Field, which don't even get me started on the stupid name. What an awful name for a stadium, Globe Life Insurance. Like, that's awful. Almost as bad as Ameriquest Field. Like, that one was pretty bad.
Almost as bad as Enron.
wait, was that?
That was what Minute Maid was. So,
oh, my God. Really? So, yeah, no. I don't know if you guys remember Ameriquest Field, which before it was just the ballpark in Arlington, which is what I still call it, the original ballpark.
I still call it that. That's what it is to me, the ballpark in Arlington.
Yeah, and it is to Rangers fans, too. But after that, in, like, 2007, I think, it was Ameriquest Field. And the Ameriquest, their, like, logo was like a bell. And so there's just big old bell on the top of the stadium, just huge bell, like, I don't know, like 10, 15 feet tall and like probably 5-6 feet wide. And so when they did away with the naming rights deal ended, the bell just went away. And so someone out there I don't know who it is. I want to like I want to make it my lifelong goal to find out who has the American West ball, but someone has it at their house. I don't know who it is. I have no idea, but like I need to find out where this bell is, why they kept it, and where it's sitting.
That would be a good Astros fan thing. Eric and I could steal it like a like an old fraternity.
If you can get it out of wherever it is, I don't know how they even moved it. It was on top of the stadium. Like, what happened there?
What I don't get is how Jeff from the Locked On Dodgers podcast, after playing in the World Series against us and all the controversy, he was convinced that it was still called Enron Field. I'm like, he's like, well, I want to get out there to Enron Field. I'm like, no, it's not called Enron Field. What is it called?
I hope you know by you telling me this, I'm never going to call it anything but Enron Field now. Like, that's just too incredible.
Fellas.
What's up, Johnny?
Question. I saw somewhere on Twitter where, I don't know if you all saw it today, but I saw somewhere on Twitter that, you know, JV might come back later on this season, especially if the Astros are, you know, let's say in the championship series or maybe even in the World Series. And a lot of people were saying that they were comparing it to like, hey, he might be the John Smoltz, you know, like a closer role or a bullpen role. What do you all think about that?
You know, my bold prediction of the year, and I'll say this real quick and let Eric respond fully, but my bold prediction of the year was that JV comes back and pitches the Astros into the World Series. Now, very bold of me, but if there's anybody at the stage of their career they're in, I think Justin Verlander is the perfect candidate. What do you think, Eric?
I think that he's going to listen to doctors. I think he's going to listen to what the team says. But at the same time, he doesn't want to, as much as he would like to pitch the Astros into the World Series, he's looking for a contract next year. He doesn't want to F things up for next year. So I think that he's going to want to try to do what's best for 2022. So we'll have to see what he does. Would I like that to happen? Sure. Would that be a great storyline? Yes. I think it'll be similar to what David Price did with the Red Sox. And was that 2018 or 2017? I forgot what year that was, where he was pitching out of the bullpen after coming back from an injury. Not exactly the same injury, but yeah, that would be a great storyline. Do I see that happening? Not with so much on the line. With knowing JV's bulldog personality and him wanting to just do it, I would say, yeah, that would be a good storyline.
At the same time, too, he wants a ring, and he might be much closer to a ring if he only has to pitch the postseason than signing with a new team next year and having to go through that whole season again. So,
I mean, if he can and if the doctors advise, I think he pitches. I mean, I even think it's a possibility he stays in Houston and stays at a discount, you know?
That would be nice.
That would be beautiful.
I don't want JV pitching, though, if he's not the best guy for it, right? Like, it's going to be very difficult for him to, you know, after a year plus of not pitching at all, to be able to pitch postseason innings, let alone, you know, any inning. So, like, I would hope, like, if he were to come back, I'd probably want him to pitch a little bit, like, in September or to have a decent little, rehab stint. And the thing is, like, the Astros might be playing really important games in September. Like, they might not have a whole lot of time for JV to be able to just pitch in the middle of September, in the middle of, you know, what could be a division race, a pennant race, whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, it would be nice if the Astros, like, got, like, into, like, a blowout, hopefully, with them leading by 10 runs, and then maybe you give JV an inning here and there and see what it's at. But also, that's very different than a live inning in a postseason game. So I'd be very hesitant to think about that, and I don't want to think about that because it sounds like a pipe dream. Like, if Justin Verlander pitches the last out to get the Astros back to the World Series, that might be, like, I don't want to say it'd be just as good as winning a World Series, but it'd be pretty damn close.
Well, think about the way he got here, right? I mean, you know, the whole deadline thing and being here for the run. I mean, how just – I mean, that's an ESPN 30 for 30 special waiting to happen. Of course, ESPN hates us, so it probably won't happen.
No, but we'll get a 30 for 30 for a couple of other reasons.
You're right. Yeah, about 10 years we'll get one. The Astros. Like, we'll get, like, I'm Jeremy Shapp. The Astros were maligned by controversy, trash cans, and all those things. Anyway, sorry. That's my Jeremy Shapp impression.
That's a pretty good Jeremy Shapp.
Thank you.